If you all have been paying attention to the news lately, and especially this past week, statements are continually being made in our generation that we're seeing of where Christ is not the answer, or Jesus did not die for the sins of the human race. This is nothing new. Such statements have been made since Christ was born in Bethlehem, and we knew that they would be made. But I want to read a statement from Al-Qaeda. And I think that this tells the truth about where America is, although I was surprised at how they came to the part about America. Al-Qaeda holds a massive parade in Yemen, and they vowed to remove the cross and the bearer of the cross, America. If you will notice all of the Al-Qaeda videos, you will always see them shooting at the cross. The cross bothers so many people. Well, should it in our day? Well, let me read Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19. For there are many of whom I have already told you before and remind you again with a heavy heart, who live continually as enemies of the cross of Christ. These people are doomed, headed for eternal judgment, because their God is their own desires. The things they take pride in should cause shame. They care only for the things of this world. The key to the cross, my friends, is out of the world. The keys of the love of the cross are in God's heart. And what God gave to you and gave to me in His Son was His heart. You having a child, anything happens to that child, you would say, it's like my heart's been ripped out. God gave His only begotten Son, and the heartbeat inside Jesus, born in a manger, was God's heartbeat. God inside the human condition. We knew Him as Jesus, the Messiah. And God said, it is not right for sin to have crept into the world when those who were born after Adam did not understand the first sin. Therefore, I understand, says God, that you cannot keep the law. So I'm coming down personally. I'm going to give you my heart. Jesus on the cross was the heartbeat of God. And He watched. All the realm of heaven looked on to see what would go on in the human condition on planet Earth when God Himself comes down, incarnate in Jesus Christ. You and I need to learn our true identity in Jesus. Folks, you're not going to get it right. If you think you're ever going to get it right and you're ever going to earn your way to heaven, you'll never see it. Christ is the answer. Christ doesn't judge us. He loves us. The sin itself is the judgment upon us. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. I want you to find peace in the life that you're living. Jesus Christ brought hope. Had there not been a crucifixion and a resurrection, or if there had just been the crucifixion and no resurrection, you and I, of all men, would be miserable. Because there'd be no hope. Our hope is in who Jesus is, not in who you think that you're going to become. We always need to focus on who Christ is when we look at one another. And the reason I say that is this. First Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. You see, when God looks at me and he looks at you, when you look in the mirror, you just see you. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus in you. You see, you are reflected to God through the heart of Jesus, his son. You don't see yourself as perfected. And those of you who think you are, oh gosh, you're dead wrong. So when Christ looks at us, he sees sin. And when you and I, using this physical body, then accept that spiritual hope through Christ, becoming that master link, one individual Christian serving the master, hooked together called the church, and we're doing it in prayer, and we're doing it in following Christ's example. When that takes place in your life, in my life, I don't ever have to worry about anything else. Here's something that seems to amaze so many people. There is nothing you can do that'll make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can't do that would make him love you any less. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus and his love for us. When Jesus says, I love you, he doesn't just say, I loved you. Well, I didn't get that kiss. I didn't care about the kiss, but I do care about the touch. The touch that comes in the heart of man direct from God. The touch of the master. And as that master lifts up our heart, he said, I'm going to lift you up and I want to give you hope. But you're never going to get it right. You're going to mess up. Jesus came. He did it right. He went to the cross. He died. He took your penalty, my penalty. He took my guilt. And he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That angered a lot of religious leaders. That meant they were going to lose control of the people. For when Christ came and Christ said, I'm going to die that horrible death, but on the third day, I'm going to conquer that death. You and I serve a Savior that has already conquered death. I will never die, neither will you. It is the touch of the Master. And when the Master touches you, and God looks at you, filtered through the heart of his Son, you're looking good. You're shining in the heavenly realm. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. From the beginning of creation, God wanted to offer the human race a special place in his heart as we were to grow and be nourished by God's word. The Hebrew nation was not in existence. And God looked down upon earth, and he was looking for a people, as he said, a people that would be his people. So as he was looking on earth, all the great nations around, they had their people of those great nations. So God said, fine, I'll take all the renegades. I will take the vagabonds, the individual that nobody else wants, and I will create and make of them a great nation. And so he did. He blessed Israel with in everything that went on with them as a nation. Because he said, you are my people. I'm going to bless you. And as he blessed, the people began to move away. The more God blessed them, the more they thought they were self-sufficient. And they looked out on the other nations. And their cry went up to God, give us a human king so we can be like all the other nations. Because we're different. But that difference was a great difference. That difference was God's children serving God, his purpose. Do you know that when they went out to battle, every situation, the battle was already won by the time they got there? They just did the cleanup because God went in front of them. But they said, we no longer need God. We'll worship you, God, but we want to be like everybody else. So God said, fine, give them a king. And he said, but you'll be sorry, for your kings will make you pay taxes. They will take most of your grain, and what they tell you to do, you will have to do. That's okay with us. Just make us like other nations. And then we move forward into America. And America was founded upon the Christian Judeo belief in who Christ truly is. And God said, I will bless you, America, above all other nations. Lift my son's name high. Be not afraid to speak about me as your God. And America did. And we've become the greatest nation ever known. And now America is doing the same thing as the Hebrew nation did. We no longer want to follow you, Lord. And the name of God's Son is stricken from use in the schools. God's name being taken off of public places. The commandments he gave being ridiculed. God looked down at us again. And as he looked down, he looked to the heart of those professing his name. And he looks to the church, and to the church where his word should be held up, and his son should be Lord indeed. Very seldom does he hear his son's name mentioned anymore, even among his own people. But you see, that happened to Israel. They lost their place with God, and God allowed their enemy to overshadow them. And I was thinking this past week, I was 3 years old, 1948. God allowed his people and to come back as a nation, Israel. 1948, in my lifetime, you will see the fulfillment. What else is he going to fulfill? He said, be careful, because I want you to know that the great harlot is going to come and pull many away from the truth. And we always look at the great harlot as Iraq, always looked at the Antichrist somewhere else. And John the Beloved said, you got many Antichrists with you now. The people who said that Christ is not God, they are the Antichrist. Oh, there's the big one coming later on. I don't know when that's going to be. But folks, let me tell you, our problem today is we've turned our back on the name of Jesus Christ. And we have accepted the generic God with a little g, even into our own churches, professing Christianity. That ought not be, my friends. when the preachers cease to preach the truth of God, and those calling themselves God's children refuse to speak the name of Jesus for fear of losing business, for fear that somebody will think they're sort of crazy out of this world. Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm sort of crazy out of this world. Amen. And I admit it. My retirement plan's even out of this world. You do know that one, don't you? God looks to us in our heart. Our lips say one thing, but He looks to the heart. And as He looks, He's fixing brokenness. He's putting together the real Jesus in our mind and in our spiritual being. It is a gift from God. Because America ceases to love Him like we did does not mean that God has ceased to love us. But He throws His arms out wide. Generation after generation said, but you don't understand how bad I've been. I do not know how bad you've been, but I know how good God is. And there is no sin that a human being could have ever committed that when you come with your open heart and crying out to God, Lord, save me, God will not turn His back. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't care what we Baptist or any other denomination try to tell you to do. You can't jump over a pew and get saved. Now, you might jump over after you got excited about getting saved, but that won't get you saved. All of the little works don't get you saved. When your heart is under conviction of the Lord, pay attention. Because God is trying to tell us a generation is before us that's attempting to destroy the truth of who God is. Can it happen? One generation away, if you don't tell your children about Jesus, how are they going to know to tell their children? This nation is one generation away from paganism. Many of the other generations have already fallen prey to the religion of paganism. I know that it is unpopular to ever speak against religions. I'm not in a battle with religions. I'm not certainly in battle with other Baptist churches. Satan's about all I can handle, and I can't handle him by myself. You and I must get our hearts together. We must understand what forgiveness truly is all about. And we must once again hold up the cross of Jesus Christ. And in holding up that cross, we will stand knowing that Jesus gave His life for me and you. What did God do? When God looks down, and once again we see the story, God sees His Son on trial for us. The power in the hands of God so amazing that we know the scripture said that Jesus could have called legions of angels at any time. All heaven, all universe was standing back waiting. And God says no. He's watching His only begotten Son, full of love, full of truth, full of forgiveness, being spat upon, cursed, stripped naked, and hung on a cross. As those looked on and mocked, you and I, I've asked you this question many times. If we saw our child, our only child, hanging on that cross and going through what Christ went through, we would have asked for extra legions to destroy. But God didn't. Jesus didn't. Don't you hear the cry of the Son of God, as from within. He looks to his Father. He knows the power. He himself has raised the dead. He knows the love of his Father. And he said, I have not spoken one word that my Father hasn't given me to speak. He knows that love. And yet, because of your sin and my sin, he remains there. He could not come down one second sooner. Nothing could happen any different than had happened. It would have been impossible for the salvation focus to have been completed, because somebody had to die for the sin of the world. And God said, I love you so much. Do you know that God knows your name before you were ever even thought of? Do you know that God counts the tears that fall? Think of that. God pays that close of attention to us. And he looks at his son, and his son's going through living hell right there. And he continues to watch as all continue to blaspheme his name. I can picture the angels looking at each other. Anytime, we're going in, boys. But the time did not come. Couldn't have. Because you see, had Jesus not completed what he came to earth to complete, you and I would have no hope at all. Amen. And we would truly be of all men most miserable. Today in our generation, people are living in misery. Hearts broken, spirits broken. They don't see any hope because, oh, what I have done. God loved me when I asked him to save me. And he saved me right then and there. Do you really think that he didn't know what I was going to do later as a Marine? Did he really not think of what I was going to say later that I'd be ashamed of? He saved me anyway. And he gave me his love and he gave me his truth. And his truth is in who Jesus is, not in who I am or who you are. And he said, listen, I stood back. I looked at the cross. I watched as some prayed the most cursed. I paid attention to who ran away. And I paid attention to who stayed. God says, I'm looking. And now I look to the heart of man. Had you ever thought within your own heart, had I been there, I'd have done anything that I could have? Did you ever wonder, I wonder what I would have done if I'd been there? Let me tell you how you'll know. What do you do with Jesus right now? What do you do with the Christ who saved you? Do you lift his name up? Is that not the same as putting him on a cross? Do you not stand up for the truth of Jesus? Do we not stand up for the awesome love of God and a forgiveness that none of us deserve? If you will not serve Jesus Christ today, you would have not served him then. But you listen to this and listen well. If you will not serve him on earth, you will not serve him in heaven. Doesn't work that way. One of these days, I'll get right. You can't. You have no power over the conviction the Holy Spirit gives you. You have no power over when the Holy Spirit convicts. But when the Holy Spirit touches that heart, don't we understand? God is looking at you and me through the heart of his own son. That's the pure heart. You and I think we're awful. God sees our perfection because Jesus is presenting us to his Father. And he's polishing us up. Some of us are going to take a little sandpaper. He's polishing us and shining us. But he said, I will do it. And at one time, I'm going to present you to my Father. Jesus knows my name. I get it. I love that one. Jesus knows my name. There's the power. Many will tell you how often you attend church, what you give to the poor, what you do here and what you do there. That's the road to salvation. That has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and you and I accepting Him for who He says He is. And by faith we are saved through His grace. That's salvation. None of the other. I don't care what you give to a church. I don't care what you don't give to a church. Folks, when I hand it to the Lord, He blesses and gives more and more and more. God is testing our character. Do we hold out on God? When God says, do you remember the talent that I gave you? Yeah, I made big money on that talent. What about the talent? Will you not use it in service for me or only for yourself? The gifts that I give, says God, are gifts to be returned to your fellow man through love and through the right heart. I'm so grateful that God views me through the heart of His Son. Any of us that's ever been in battle, it's never over with us. So many are broken. I'm going to tell you all something now that has bothered me for quite some time. And I want you to hear this. You know that 22 veterans commit suicide every day in America. What you didn't know, probably, was that 19 out of the 22 are over 50 years of age. I said something that stirred some people up one time, and the something I said was this. Veterans are always warriors. Come back broken and messed up. You can't be trained to kill and not get messed up, people, and come back to this country. Of all the suicides I've ever worked in my life, I've never thought of this before. Because I've always told them, before you kill the children, why don't you kill yourself then instead of killing the children and then killing yourself? And then I looked upon the veterans that are dying by their own hand. And I know, as I preach to you continually, that this body is nothing but a vehicle. The real me is in here, and the real me is getting a glorified body. The real you's in there. And this body, when it leaves, goes back to the dust, we got a new one. We've got a powerful new body. Now think a little deep with me here, because I'll be getting the emails. If I am talking to someone and find out that they are in such a shape that they cannot control their physical actions, especially our servicemen, and know that many, to stop themselves from destroying innocent people, took their own life to prevent their physical being that's broken from killing the innocent. Are they not heroes in God's sight? But in the world, are we not called crazy? Are the veterans, oh, they went nuts and killed themselves? Folks, Jesus Christ allowed Himself to go to the cross. He gave all of who He was. Could He have stopped it? Sure. Scripture says He could have. Well, why didn't He? Isn't that almost just like killing yourself? Jesus says, listen, no man takes my life from me. I laid down my life of my own free will for my sheep. I give it freely. And He did. The whole mission of Jesus on earth was to die. This is a complete mission. He was born to die. You and I, because Jesus conquered death through that, You and I will never see death. We're stepping out of this carcass, and we got something pretty. Don't know what it is. Don't know how it works, but I know it's there. And it's not a Dodge pickup, but I know that it's there. But I'll tell you, folks, God's looking once again for His church. He's wanting, you and I do not fear death for saying Jesus and lifting Him up. Do you realize how many multitudes of Christians throughout other nations are being slaughtered because of the name of Jesus, and yet they stand anyway? In America today, if someone comes up and says, all you need to do is switch to Islam and we won't kill you. What's that? Well, let's switch so we can live and then we'll repent later. Be careful. The time is coming, and now is, when God says, I'm paying attention to those who stand for my son. That's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Can you stand on your own? No, don't try it. Don't you listen to these people say, well, I'm so far in the spirit, I'll stand toe-to-toe to Satan. Well, if you're there, he's going to get a whipping. You don't do that. It's the cross I hide behind. If they want to call it hiding, that's my shield. It's the word of God. It's the truth. It's the sword. And the powerfulness of that sword is focused on love. Be at peace, my friends. But do not back away from your only salvation. We're watching it slowly creep in to our society. It won't be very long. But you know, that's exciting. Brother Randy has wrote an article for our newsletter next month. I read also, and it was tremendous, on allow each individual Christian to serve the Lord the way God calls them to serve the Lord. And you do not judge them by how you don't do those type of things or this thing. You let God do the picking. After all, He did the saving. God loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise Your holy name for Your love and Your truth. We thank You, Father, for sending Jesus. And in the sending of Your Son, Father, Your great love. Help us to have peace now, Father. Peace in our heart, peace in our spirit. As You move among us, Lord, touch our hearts. Give us the courage to stand up for what is right. Forgive us, Father, because we mess up so often. Father, You love us, and we know that. We ask Your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.